Hey guys, welcome to Sports Spectrum. We got a great conversation today with John Acuff, New York Times best-selling author. And I mean a great conversation. We're going to talk about setting goals, practicing positivity. We're going to talk about the growing, being in the going, self-awareness as a superpower. There's so much good nuggets here with this conversation with John Acuff. John's one of my favorite authors. He's written the book Finish, Do Over, Quitter. He even wrote a book way back when called Stuff Christians Like. This is his ninth book, New York Times best-selling author. The last book he wrote, Soundtracks, released back in 2021. And he's got this new book that we're going to tell you about in a minute. I'm just really excited for you to hear this conversation. Jade McCarthy actually pinch hitting for me today to do this interview with John Acuff. And let me just promise you, when you're listening to it, if you have your note section on your phone opened up, or you got a pen and a paper, this is the interview to just write down all sorts of good nuggets that you're going to want to take away with you as you continue on your journey. So you're going to love this conversation with John Acuff, the New York Times best-selling author. Before we get to John, I want to remind you about our Sports Spectrum magazine, a chance for you to get 15% off a one-year subscription to what I think is the best thing that we do here at Sports Spectrum, the Sports Spectrum magazine. The fall football preview edition is coming out very soon. Heck, it might even be out right now waiting in your inbox if you place a subscription order today. Kirk Cousins, the Minnesota Vikings quarterback, is on the cover. This is the magazine to get. Perfect for the kids, perfect for the families. If you love sports, you're looking for some clean content, the Sports Spectrum magazine is the perfect gift. You can subscribe today at sportsspectrum.com. When you subscribe, when you check out, use the code podcast15, podcast15, and you can get 15% off a one-year subscription to the Sports Spectrum magazine. Subscribe today at sportsspectrum.com.
Well, as always, great to be here with you on the Sports Spectrum podcast, and I'm super excited for the guest today because John Acuff, I mean, the books are awesome. There's a new one coming out, and I think I might like each one more than the last.
That's fun.
Excited to read this one, John. You know what struck me is the idea that only 4% of people said they felt like they were living up to their full potential, and I'm sure you heard that, right? And you were like, oh, there's a book there, right? because you hear a number like that and it strikes you.
Well, yeah. So for me, the things that I look for, three things when I write a book. One, do I have a personal connection? So I'm going to talk about it for years and years and years. Do I have a personal connection? Two, do people actually need it? Am I hearing about it from neighbors, when I speak at companies, when we do surveys? And three, is there a spot for me in the marketplace? That's kind of my Venn diagram. And so I felt this great sense of regret about my college years when we toured our oldest daughter at the college I went to. My wife said, wasn't college amazing? And I was thinking, no, it was a train wreck because I was a mess in college. And so I felt this great sense of regret about that. And I started to work on, okay, I didn't live up to my potential in college. That was 4 years. What if the next 40 years looked different than that? And then I thought, do other people feel they haven't lived up to the potential? So then this professor, Mike Peasley, and I did that study, 3,000 people, and 96% said no. And then I went into the marketplace and there were a lot of resources about potential, but a lot of them were very fuzzy, very kind of vague, like the universe will help you kind of. And I wanted advice I could use on a Tuesday. I wanted practical, tactical things I could do in the real world. And so I thought, okay, it's worth spending the time to write this book. That's kind of where it started. But yeah, the 96 surprised me. The bigger stat that surprised me is that 50% of people feel that 50% of their potential is untapped. Mm-hmm. And that's, you know, the metaphor for us became in that moment, that's like only opening up half your Christmas presents every year. And would that make for a happy Christmas, a happy family, a happy life? Of course not. So if people have all these presents that they haven't opened, what if I could create a book that showed them how to do that? And that's where the project started.
Well, I do think the universe will conspire to help you. I love the Paul Coelho book, The Alchemist. I'm sure you're
I do too,
with
but
it.
The universe doesn't care about me. The universe is busy shoving boats into the Suez Canal. Yes. I've never once had like the universe go, no, this is what you should do. I like the like holistic idea of it. I think that's true when you work on a goal, people show up in the same way that like if you said what's something weird you believe. I believe that you buy books and you read them when you need them. So everyone listening has had that moment where a book you had for a year suddenly jumps off your shelf and you were ready for it and you weren't ready for it before. So I believe in that sense, but I don't believe in the universe will help me as a life plan I can use on a Tuesday.
Yeah, no, 100%. 100%. I agree with you there. I think when we're walking down the lane that we have goals and we're working towards things, I think God will put people in our path that will 100%. Help us move the way that we should be going, right? Like when you're in the flow, when you're in the current that you're supposed to be in.
When they know you do it. Like, I don't like, people always tell me I want to be a public speaker. I'm like, well, do you talk about that you do that? And they're like, no. Well, they're not. Clients just don't show up on your doorstep and go, hey, I'd like you to hire as a speaker. Like, have you ever thought about, like, you're not like DoorDash won't deliver your husband or your wife. Like, that's not how life works. So I do believe in the sense of like, the more you're out there, the more you get back.
Yeah. Yeah. You have to put yourself out there and you have to be upfront about what you're looking to do. And in order to do that, you have to say, here's my goal, which is where this book comes from. All it takes is a goal. And you've said it a couple times. So how do you lay this out so someone feels like, okay, it's Tuesday and I know what I need to do and this is going to help me?
Well, so here's an example of that. So let's say your goal was, okay, I feel lonely, like, and I feel stressed out. I don't have community. Maybe working from home made you realize, oh, I need more connection. I lost all the natural connection I used to have where we'd go to lunch on a Wednesday. Like, that doesn't happen when you work at home. You don't randomly go on lunches. That used to happen all the time in an office. So you say, I feel lonely. I want to change that. To which I would say, well, let's make it a goal. What's something tactical and practical you can do? So for me, an easy goal that I tried around relationships and connection was I decided I'm going to encourage somebody every day for a month. I'm going to find 30 different people that I encourage every day for a month. And I'm not going to write them long letters. It's not going to be difficult. I'm going to make a list of people that maybe I haven't connected with in a long time. And I'm going to shoot them a text. I'm going to say, hey, Brad, I was just thinking about how good you are connecting with people. Or, hey, Tim, like whenever I think about dads that inspire me, you're on my list. And I'm just going to see what happens. And that was something small I could do. I didn't reinvent all my friendships. I didn't reinvent all my relationships, but I started with something small I could do to feel more connected to people. So a lot of times what you do is you have this idea, this goal you want to do, and then you find small ways to actually turn it into actions you can work on. So another one, I felt that I was being way too angry in certain situations that didn't deserve anger. I was being offended a lot. So I decided I'm going to see if I can overlook an offense for 30 days in a row. That's just a small thing. And it was minor, but it really exposed me to some silly pettiness. So I made it a goal. So I really believe that no matter what you want to accomplish in life, there's ways to make it into something you can actually do. And that's where life gets fun.
So when you make those things into things that you actually do, like, do you put post-its up? Like, what do you do to ensure that you follow through on what you have set as a goal?
Yeah, I do a number of different things. I love surrounding myself with as many tools as I need. So here's an example. I'm a naturally negative person. Like, I am naturally pessimistic. I'm naturally cynical. I don't know if it's because I grew up in Mass and like where the winters are hard, dude, and they close Papagino's and we're frustrated. I don't know what it is.
I can't even find an open Papagino's anymore these days.
No, it's over. It's a wrap. Like Noah Kahan, there's an artist from New Hampshire called Noah Kahan who has a song. He says, I'm mean because I grew up in New England. And every time I hear that line, I'm like, I get that, dude.
John and I get each other here because we both grew up in Mass.
Yeah, so like I can... Like, I'm a negative person, but I want to be positive because I've tested positivity. I've tested negativity and I know which one has a better return on investment. I know which one gives me the results I want. So how can I be more motivated? How can I be more positive? An example of that would be when I work out 15 minutes of the workout, I'm listening to a positive book on tape or an audiobook. So I'm listening to 15 minutes of Jim Rohn. So guess what I'm doing? I'm practicing positivity. And so when you don't practice positivity, it kind of be like not eating all day. And at the end of the day going, I don't know why I'm hungry. It's so weird that I'm hungry. It's not weird. You like bathed in negativity on social media all day. And then you watched murder shows on Netflix all night. And then you went, so weird. I don't feel positive. Like, I just feel kind of down. Like, it's not weird. Like, so that's a simple way. So I'll listen to positive, 15 minutes of a positive audiobook. I'll have, encouraging notes around my office. I'll track, this folder that I'm holding up is my folder of CrossFit workouts. Like I have these printed out. I text them to my trainer. I'll have as many tools as I need to accomplish the goal as I need. What happens is most people often hold their breath when they're trying to accomplish a goal. They go, I just got to have willpower. Just got to have discipline. Like, no, you should have, if you need 10 tools, have 10 tools, have as many, like have an accountability partner, have a checklist. Like I have a chart. Like I chart the hours it takes me to write a book. I have a big wall chart. I charted all like 500 to 600 hours on that. So I use as many tools as I need to stay connected to the goal, to stay excited about the goal and to stay on track.
And the more honest you are with yourself about what tools you need to tap into, the better, right? I mean, because if you sit there and like fudge it to you, like you're only hurting yourself and then you're only reaching that point where you're going, oh yeah, like I don't feel like I'm in that 96% or I'm, you know, fully tapping into the other 50% of potential that I have.
Yeah, that's one of those cliches that's annoyingly true. Like every parent has said, like, you're only cheating yourself. And you're like, no, I'm not. No, but when you're in your 40s, I'm 47. Like I can say, yeah, if I cheat on my workout, it doesn't change my trainer's day. Like I could text him and go like, I worked out for 45 minutes when I only did 30, whatever. Doesn't change his day. Didn't change anybody else's day but me. So I think, yeah, there is a sense of honesty, but there's also a sense of self-awareness. Self-awareness is a superpower. You can't accomplish anything unless you have self-awareness. And the examples I gave are things like the executive who gets fired for anger issues who thought he was passionate. Like he had no self-awareness that this thing I think is passion, I'm actually stepping on people's necks and nobody likes me at the office. The husband, the father who in mid-50s gets told by his doctor, unless you lose 40 pounds, you're dangerously overweight, has no, like, what are you talking about? Like what that, like no self-awareness. The person who dates loser after loser after loser never stops to go, you know, the one thing in common is me. Like maybe I need to do like, so maybe I need to go to, maybe the solution isn't like online dating. The solution is counseling. And I need to go see why I keep thinking I only deserve losers. Like maybe that's the thing. But if you have self-awareness, you can go, yeah, here's the tools I need. Here's the situation I need. This environment's good for me. This environment's whack for me. Okay. I can actually build a situation where I can succeed.
Yeah. John Acuff with us here on Sports Spectrum talking about his new book, All It Takes Is a Goal. One of the things that you do with it is you characterize goals, right? Like guaranteed goals, middle goal, easy goal. So kind of take us through how you did that and why, John.
Sure. Well, I like to think about life like a goal ladder. So imagine a ladder and one vertical rung is time and one is effort. And the higher you climb on it, the more time it takes, the more effort it takes. It doesn't take me much time or effort to write a tweet. To write a book takes me a lot of time, a lot of effort. So if I said to you, okay, Jade, there's a 14-foot tall ladder. I want you to get to the top of it. Huge goal is at the top. I want you to get to the top. You have two options. You can try to jump and grab the top rung. It's 14 feet high. So it's the top of a basketball backboard. Maybe you've jumped so high, you've touched the top of one. Maybe you just have crazy ups.
Or superpowers I haven't figured out how to use.
You're like Ja. Like you're Ja Morant. You can jump out of the building. Or you can climb at the bottom rung to the next rung, to the next rung, to the next rung and get to the top. And a lot of people, because our culture says stuff like go big or go home, you got to have a crazy goal. We think that's how we're going to do it, that we're just going to leap and do this world's most awkward pull up to the top of it. And what I teach is, well, no, start with an easy goal. Start with something small, gain some momentum, see if you even like it. And then if it gets working and you like it, turn it into a middle goal, a little more time, a little more effort, maybe even invest in it financially. And then if that keeps going, keep going, keep going, keep going until it's a guaranteed. And when I say guaranteed, like I just did a podcast with a woman who her thing is 1,000 hours outdoors, 1,000 hours outside. She encourages people to spend 1,000 hours outside with their kids every year. And it's amazing. She has 500,000 followers on Instagram. If you spend 1,000 hours outside with your kids, you know your kids better. That is a guarantee. If I do 100 workouts this year and I did 20 last year, I am guaranteed to be in better shape. If I write every day for an hour, I am guaranteed at the end of the year, I have a book. That's not magic. And so that's what I mean. But I wouldn't start there. I wouldn't say, Jade, I've never written. So today I'm going to start and I'm going to write an hour every day for the next 365 days. That's not going to be sustainable. You're going to quit that goal. You're going to give up. But if you start with something small and say, over the next week, here's what I'm going to do. Or this afternoon, here's what I'm going to do. And you do some easy goals, you start to build up some momentum and you start to get better and better and better and better until all of a sudden you look up. And I'll turn in my 10th book this fall. Like my 10th book will be done this fall. And then my 11th is due the next fall. And I'm just going to keep writing books because I'm just going to keep climbing the ladder. But I didn't start on book one and go, I bet I'll have 10 books 10 years. what lunatic would say that? I couldn't have looked at that. I couldn't have predicted that. Instead, I said, I'm going to try to write a page today. That's an easy goal. And then I'm going to see if I can build on that. That's what the goal ladder is.
Well, and I think part of it too is, you know, you referenced like spending more time with your kids outside or writing a book, right? Like we all have these unique things that motivate us or like serve a greater purpose for us. And it strikes me that we're much more likely to follow through on a goal that we set when it's aligned with one of those things that we really want to either, you know, do because it's time with our children or do because we've always wanted to write a book or, you know, go out and win a Super Bowl. Like all those things, you're going to work harder for them when it's aligned with something that feels like it's part of your mission, right?
Yeah. And you don't know that until you're in the middle of it, usually. Like in January, you have the least information about your New Year's resolution. You have the least information. In February, you've got a month of education. Like in June, you've got 5 months. And so you're continually learning, tweaking, changing. But we put a lot of pressure on ourselves. Like I got to have a New Year's resolution, have it all figured out. Or we say, Jade, what do you want to accomplish over the next 10 years? And the older you get, the more information you get to where you can say, no, this is part of my mission. This is something I care about. I mean, I didn't know I cared about goals in this way. It took me maybe 10 years to really hone in on this, 10 years of writing books. And I asked my counselor about that. I was like, why am I so obsessed with goals? Because other things have faded. Like I was really into ping pong and I played it like crazy and I stopped ping pong. I did road biking. I've done so many things. I had so many different jobs, advertising, marketing, but I've really over the last 10 years leaned into the power of goals. And he said, well, you just haven't benefited from goals. You're also a witness. I've witnessed other people. Like I get letters inviting me to graduations from college where a stay-at-home mom will say, hey, I read your book, Finish, and encourage me to finish my college degree. And this is, I know you probably can't attend, but here's the official graduation notice. I finished my degree. Or people send me photos of their decluttered attics, or I have a shelf full of books that people have finished because they read something I wrote. And so once you're connected into that, there's no going back. Like right. Once you've witnessed the power of that, there's no returning to the 96% and going, no, I'll just assume that you can't accomplish anything. Like once you've been around that and you've seen other people do it in their life and their way, you can't help but be like, nah, I'm going to lean into this. I'm going to lean. And so for me, that is tied to my mission, but I didn't start with that mission. I didn't start, you know, the first out of college, I didn't start the first book I write to say, here's what I want to accomplish over the next 15 years. I didn't have that vision. I learned along the way and I paid attention. And then I started again, add pieces until something was actually built.
Yeah. I think, I mean, service is so much like that, right? Or like the notion of it's better to give than receive. It's like, you don't really realize that until you're doing it. And like you said, like you're somewhere in the middle, right?
Like, oh, it feels like a myth. Like when somebody says it's better to give than receive, if you haven't done it, you're like, oh, here we go. Like it feels like something your parents said that you're like, this can't be true. But then you get to do it and then you get to experience it. And then like I want my kids to win more than me. Like when they win, that's a different thing. Like when a kid expresses passion about something, every healthy parent tries to throw fuel on that. If a kid goes, I'm just really enjoying baseball. You're going to go, oh, you want to do private lessons? You want to do on a different team? Like, what can I do to help you really engage with that? You just want that kid. You're trying to like help that passion. And I think it's the same with service. Like, but on the upfront, you're kind of like, is this going to be true or not? Is this real? And then you actually try it and you go, but it's the same for me with like social interactions. I'm an introvert and I have an automatic no. Like when somebody says to me, hey, come out to dinner, come out to this thing, I automatically go, no, no, I no. But the times I actually go, and it's a goal of mine, I'm working on it, I never come back and go, I would have made more connections if I had just binge watched Netflix. Like, I would have made more business connections. I would have had my heart filled more if I just scrolled Instagram for those 2 hours. Mm. Like, on the upfront, I'm very like, and then I go do it, and it's rewarding. So I think there's a lot of things in life like that, that until you're in the middle, you can't tell how great it's going to be.
Yeah. Yeah. Well, there's something biblical about that, right? I mean,
well, that's Abraham. You know, go to the land, I'll show you. The rhyme I like to do, because I'm a Southern Baptist pastor's kid, is the growing is in the going. The growing is in the going. You don't grow until you go. You're never, you know, you're never ready to be a parent. Anybody who goes, are you ready? You're not. You no. can't possibly. That's not how parenting works. The words show up when you need them. Yeah. If you go biblically, there's a million examples where the word showed up when the person needed them. The experience showed up when the person needed it. You know, you go to the land, I will show you, not, you know, the way my friend says it is that God's a light unto your feet, you know, a light unto your path, not a light unto your mile. Like, he doesn't light the whole mile. And so we often pray for a 5-year roadmap of where we're headed, but he won't give us that because he knows if he gave me the map, I'd worship the map, not the map maker. Mm-hmm. And so, yeah, you want to know before you go, but you usually don't.
Yeah. Yeah. And so often, you know, it's like, I think about like Jesus on the boat, and like, he's telling them to fish. Like, you know, I mean, I've heard people say like, he could have just put the fish on the boat, but no, like, he wants you to do it. Like, you have to reach out, and he will help you. He will be there with you, but he's not going to do it for you.
They didn't need to blow the horns at Jericho. Like, they really, like, God could have been like, and the whole walls fall. Like, they didn't need to do that. Like, there's so many stuff like that where you're like, that didn't need to happen that way, but it happened that way so that we could see a God who's good and all powerful and give him glory for it. So yeah, it's funny to think about. I mean, all this stuff is, you know, related to, okay, what's God calling me to do? My, you know, from a biblical perspective, because it's a business book, so it's not biblical in that sense. But my kind of the way I look at life is that parable of the landowner who gives 5, 2, and 1 talents. Mm-hmm. And what's interesting is they're based on their abilities, and they immediately put them into work. They don't have to sit for 6 months and pray. Like, they were already doing stuff. They were already like, they immediately put them to work. And then there's a party, there's a celebration. And so my thing is like going to that one person and going, you had one talent, you buried it. Let's get a shovel. Like, you are not opening up all your potential. I don't know if you're 2, 5, or 1, but let's get busy and let's have a party when we're done. Like, that's like, let's use that full talent.
Yeah. Yeah. And part of it that you talk about is this best moments list. And, you know, you often hear like, live forward, live present, right? Like, and that's all important. Like, it is. You can't plan 5 years without living today. But part of it you talk about is also not living in the past, but learning from the past and letting it help you.
Yeah, it's interesting. We, you know, our society overfocuses on sadness. So there was a study that for every 100 scientific studies on sadness, only one's done on joy. So we are obsessed with trauma and sadness and pain. And so we often go, when we think about our past, let's just look at the terrible parts. So like every counseling session I've been to, we did a trauma egg at one where we had to draw a picture of all the trauma that had happened to us from birth to current. Every small group I've ever been in with other couples, when we share our stories as a couple, they're always, here's our worst moments. Like, here's the, like, they're always cry fests. They're never like, here's the amazing things. Like, here's the, and right. So I really started to go, what if we looked at joy? Like, what if joy had something to teach us? And so the best moments list is this exercise that instead of trying to dream about the next 20 years, which to me paralyzes me. If somebody says, what's your 20-year plan? I lock up. I don't know the answer. Yep. But if you said to me, tell me the favorite moments of the last 5 years and do it as an exercise, you get this really beautiful list of things that meant something to you. And when you do it, your natural response is to go, I want more of that. It becomes this reunion for some moments because you go, why did I stop doing that? That used to mean the world to me. How? I want to do that again. So you automatically go, okay, it creates this life plan accidentally because you create this list and then you go, I want more of that going forward. I don't want it to be accidental. I want it to be intentional. how can I put more of what I loved in the past into my present and plan my future? And so it's this back door into life planning. And I, the joke I do is like, it's the most honest personality test too, because it's really what you care about. Every personality test I've taken, I've been a little dishonest because I put some should in there. Like I can tell how they want me to answer. I'm like, I should care more about people. I should be a better leader. So yeah. I'm not going to put that. Yeah. Like I had a one that we took at work and it said, have you ever thought you could be a stand-up comedian? And I knew the answer that they're looking for was no. That's not, no, of course not. I don't want to know. And like the honest answer was, yeah, let's go. Like that sounds fun. Right. And so instead of trying to guess who you are, you say, here's the things that light me up the most. And then how do I add more of those going forward? That's the best moments list.
Yeah. Well, and you can't, it's things that have already happened. So you can't fudge on it, right?
It's like, real. Well, it's the exercise of going, try to guess the next 20 years, which is intimidating, or let's talk about history a little bit. Let's find some, it teaches you gratefulness. You automatically feel grateful. Like we talk about the importance of gratitude, but we don't teach practical things all the time. So it's a practical way to have gratitude. It teaches you that self-awareness we talked about. And it gives you this sense of hope. Like you automatically feel this overwhelming sense of, wow, there have been moments. I've forgotten many of them. You know, and what's fun is when I tested it with hundreds of people, I would say, let's do 30. Let's just aim for 30. And people would end up with 300. And they'd write me letters and go, hey, I still haven't stopped adding. It's opened my eyes to all the good things I was missing because I was stressed, because we just went through the pandemic, because of a million different things. And so, yeah, it's been fun to see people build massive best moments lists.
What do you love about this book, John?
The best moments list, like chapter two to me is like one of the easiest, most enjoyable tools I've ever used. And I use it in my own life. It started at the Augusta National Airport. I was, you know, Augusta, home of the Masters. I'd spoken there the night before and I started to write my own best moments list. And it really, I'm excited about that because I know a book is helpful. If it changes my life, it's going to change other people's. And then, so the other thing I'm excited about the book is there's 40 real stories in it. So what changed with my writing was when I started to teach the ideas before I put them in a book. So I don't have to guess in this office, will these ideas be helpful? Like I'm not writing in a cave and then I go, it helped me, hopefully. I first taught it to hundreds of people. And so like stories like Susan Robertson, who's in the book, who got her degree in the car rider pickup line. She used the 10 minutes to 20 minutes to 30 minutes in car rider pickup line to eventually get a college degree. That's an amazing story. That's not my story. So now like another Susan Robertson who reads the book will go, I identify with that. That's helpful. So I love that there's 40 real people in the book that have done the ideas, and it's not theory that John, like I like, God forbid I write another kind of memoir kind of book. I'm 47. This is my ninth book. Like it's enough already. I shouldn't go, hey, here's another part of my life. Like what? Like you're 47. This is your ninth, like you haven't been to Everest, like pump the brakes. So I like that. I try something in my own life. I figure out tools and then I invite a big community in and go, let's show your story too. So that other people, when they read it can go, oh, I see how this applies to me. This is for me too. It's not just if I'm a 47-year-old dude who lives in Nashville.
Should I expect a book on Everest in the future?
Is that never? I will never. There's so many things I'm never going to do. Everest is 100% on it. I have no desire. I was reading about it the other day where there's 200 bodies on Everest that they use as markers. So they say, make sure you turn at the green boots body. And it's some dude wearing green boots. I'm like, no, I don't think honestly I'll ever be rich enough to be bored enough to climb Everest. That's my prediction. Like, I think I'll still be like, eh. Like I still got some other hills to climb. Like, no, I don't think I'll ever, there's the tweet. I'll never be rich enough to be bored enough to climb Everest.
To climb Everest. Yeah. Mm-hmm. I think I'm with you. It's not high on my list, and pun intended. Yeah. All right. Tell us where we can get it. All it takes is a goal.
Yeah. So atgbook.com is where you can read the first 18 pages for free if you're curious. And then if you pre-order the book before September 12th, you get the entire audiobook for free. So I read the audiobook. There's 10 bonus stories. I'm an audiobook guy. I love audiobooks. And so, yeah, we thought, why don't we give not just a chapter or a segment, but the whole book. So atgbook.com is where you can redeem all your bonuses. And it's for sale on Amazon, everywhere. And then I have a podcast called All It Takes Is a Goal, where I interview folks. And from a sporting perspective, I interviewed Greg Sankey, the SEC commissioner, who is amazing and loves Jesus and is awesome, awesome, awesome. So if you listen to one of my podcast episodes, start with Greg Sankey, SEC Commissioners. Fantastic.
There you go. You have it all. And I hear you on the audiobooks because I feel like I get more books in when I listen to them.
100%. Right? And they count. They count. Like right? When people are like
even if I can't notate the columns, like I'm still absorbing it.
It counts. It counts. And you can put away the dishes and you can run and you can. Yeah, it's totally a multitask experience. I love audiobooks.
Yes. Yes. It helps me when I'm playing mom Uber driver.
Exactly.
Know? And then my kids are like, oh, what are you listening to? And I'm like, oh, you should.
Yeah.
Kind of like soundtracks. That's
the
what,
baller
that's
move. Baller move. Yeah. Love it. I love it.
John Acuff, thanks so much for stopping by Sports Spectrum. We appreciate it.
Yeah, thanks for having me again.
And many thanks to Jade McCarthy for pinch hitting for me and for John Acuff for coming back to Sports Spectrum. He was on back in 2021. It was great to have him back on here again today. His new book, All It Takes Is a Goal, is coming out September 12th. He talked to you about pre-ordering. You can go to atgbook.com, pre-order. You can even get the audiobook for free. I'm a big audiobook fan as well, so I appreciated John and Jade talking about that. And certainly some of the great nuggets that I took away from that conversation. And it really was a conversation. It wasn't your typical question and answer, but I love the idea about practicing positivity, right? And looking at your best moments as opposed to your saddest or worst moments in your life to keep you going. Just awesome stuff there from John Acuff. And again, atgbook.com is the place to go when you can order John's new book, All It Takes Is a Goal. We appreciate John and really do appreciate Jade McCarthy here on Sports Spectrum. Jade's been great to have on the show. She does her own show as well called Transformed with Jade McCarthy, a Sports Spectrum podcast that you can go find right now wherever podcasts are found. Highly suggest you go subscribe and follow her podcast. She has some amazing guests and really talks about how God is transforming different people in the world of sports in their lives. So subscribe to the Transformed podcast. That's with Jade McCarthy on the Sports Spectrum Podcast Network, wherever you can get your podcasts. We appreciate you tuning in today. SportsSpectrum.com is the home base for all of our content. Make that a place to go each and every day. And please do tell someone about Sports Spectrum, the ministry, the media ministry, what we do, keeping Jesus in the sports conversation. Conversations even like today's with John Acuff, which are maybe a little different than you're used to hearing, but still just powerful, right? Transforming, just encouraging conversations that you can find right here on Sports Spectrum. So tell someone, and then please do join us next time for a new episode of the Sports Spectrum podcast. I hope you have a great rest of your day.